words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The text, the gospel reading from Luke chapter 2, the title, Waiting for God. He's about 5 years old. It's late summer, July or August, as I remember. My little brother and I were playing hide and seek. Ever play that game? That time, I thought the best hiding spot would be in my parents' bedroom in their closet under the stairs and upstairs. And so, of course, the closet slanted down from the top to the bottom. I got way back in that closet. And almost to the very bottommost stair, it was only a little space. And I felt around, and there were two boxes. And I took them out. And in those boxes were two shiny metal fighter airplanes with propellers that spin and machine guns that light up when you roll them across the floor. And I knew that these were Christmas presents. My mom always shopped early. And so what to do? We took them out of the boxes, and my brother and I started to play with them. That's when my mother got home from shopping. And of course, she scooped up the fighter planes, put them back in their boxes, flew them over to the neighbor's house where they were hangered until Christmas. The holiday, of course, was months away. And my brother and I knew what we were getting. Did that spoil it for us? No way. Even though we knew what we were getting, we waited with eager expectation for the day when we get to open the boxes and play with our fighter planes again. That's a lot like Advent. It's also a lot like Christmas. Every year we know what we're going to get, but we never tire of hearing about a Savior born for us and laid in the manger. We eagerly await that joyful good news each and every year. That must have been what Simeon and Anna were experiencing as they waited in the temple for years until that day when Mary and Joseph arrived with the baby Jesus. We're told in our text that Simeon was waiting for the consolation of Israel. In other words, Simeon was expecting, he was patiently waiting for God to send the Comforter, the Consolator, a messianic title. The Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. So Mary and Joseph put Jesus into Simeon's arms. Anna, too, had been waiting. She never left the temple day or night, fasting and praying for 77 years. Now, in the baby Jesus, her prayers were answered, and she gave thanks to God. Waiting for God. We find ourselves in a complex, sometimes wonderful, sometimes terrifying world. Our minds race with all kinds of issues and needs. Our calendars are crammed with commitments. We pray like Anna. We wait like Simeon. Like these two, we find ourselves waiting for God. How will he answer our prayers? What will he do to rescue us from pain and suffering and ultimately death itself? Waiting for God, he puts a baby into our arms. How will we respond? With praise like Simeon? We take up the baby Jesus in our arms. We can't help but join Simeon in the words of the Nunc Dimittis, Latin for now dismissed. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, now let your servant depart in peace. How can you and I be dismissed from our sin and die in peace? Simeon says, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory of your people Israel. How did Simeon see with his own eyes our salvation? We're told that the Holy Spirit was upon him. He knew that this child was the Savior, the Messiah, the Christ. It was the Spirit who moved Simeon to the temple courts and to his encounter with the Christ. And so the same Spirit moves us to our own encounter with the Christ and God's Word in baptism in the Lord's Supper. Simeon speaks of the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that would be spoken against, so that the hearts of many would be revealed. And Mary says a sword will pierce your soul too. The rising of many in faith, the forgiveness of sin and raising to life, the falling of many in unbelief and judgment and condemnation. A sign to be spoken against, most clearly seen in the cross. A sword will pierce your own soul too, indicating that Mary will also suffer pain and grief as she watches her only son die on the cross. The little baby in Simeon's arms has come to die and rise again for you and me. Waiting for God, he puts a baby into our arms. How will you and I respond? With thanksgiving, like Anna? Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. As mentioned before, we all struggle with sin and death and the devil. All our heartaches, our pain and suffering, our needs and worries. And what does God do? He puts a little baby into our arms. You know, we might be tempted to say, oh, great. With all that I have to worry about, with everything I'm facing, what am I going to do with this baby? What are we going to do? With Anna, we can look into the precious face of our Savior and say, thank God. A man and his wife were driving down the road one day when he saw a bumper sticker on the car ahead that said, Jesus is the answer. Did you see one of those stickers? Jesus is the answer. Cynically, the husband said, what's the question? To which his wife replied, it doesn't matter. Jesus is always the answer to all of our questions. The epistle reading for New Year's Eve is from Romans chapter 8. What then shall we say in response to all of this? If God is for us, who could be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It's God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That's a great question. The epistle starts with a great question for this new year laying before us, all of its uncertainties and surprises. We can ask, what then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who or what can be against us? The answer is nothing. Nothing in this world but God. Now, like the way Paul ends, knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. That's a superlative. We are more than conquerors. You know, the best this world can offer, the highest thing we can ever achieve, is to be the conqueror. To conquer all things. good words as we face the new year with the baby Jesus in our arms, looking ahead in hope, waiting for God and the blessings He's planning to us. Well, back when I was about 5 again, it was a cold December day, and I remember my mother standing in the kitchen, looking out the big kitchen window across the fields to the neighbor's house, and behind the house a barn, and next to the barn a little shack. And in that little shack lived two migrant workers who normally would have been down south by now to the warmer south, and here they were in December. But their old car had broken down, you see. They couldn't afford to fix it. So they were spending the winter there in the freezing Michigan weather. Alone. Alone. They were elderly, and Mom said that their children had been taken away from them years ago because they were alcoholics. I could see the wheels turning in Mom's eyes as she looked out across the fields. Until she reached a decision, she said, we're going to give them a Christmas. We ran to the store, bought a string of lights, some ornaments and a little tree, a couple of gifts. Back home, Mom cooked a simple holiday meal. Then it was off to the neighbors and that little shack. The door opened, and there stood that old couple, their eyes as big as saucers. Up went the tree in the corner, the lights enormous. Mom set the table with four mismatched chairs, and above that hung a garland, last summer's fly strip. The kids sat on the old coil spring bed. I'm sure we sang a couple of carols memorized from the school Christmas play. There were tears. There were smiles. There were faces and hearts uplifted to come alive again. And so God stood, looking across the sin-frozen wasteland of a fallen world. There in our shacks, He sees you and me, and all people shivering and alone in hopeless despair, waiting for God, praying. What will He do? And then God said, I'm going to give them Christmas. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's rise as we join in the